Blog Talk Radio.
B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me.
I have a book. It teaches me everything that I know in this book. It shows me how I need to grow in my life. I read
on Trippy Total Radio, and we're going to get into it. This is with Answers in Genesis.
I'm not sure. I can't see them out there.
What are they? Where did they come from?
I don't know. They're sure not from this planet. Man, the way they look.
What's the noise?
Hey, don't panic. It's okay. It was probably just...
Hello? Oh, hi! Hi. Can you hang on 1 second, please? Hey, Drew, can you please turn down the TV? I'm on the phone.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mom.
Are extraterrestrials mentioned in the Bible? Has Earth ever been visited by aliens? To find the answers to these questions, go to AnswersRadio.com. You've just heard a message from Answers in Genesis.
I can't believe you got that. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, it's going to go great.
Where's my phone?
You have one new message.
I just had to call you one last time. Listen, we've been friends for so long, I just couldn't do without saying goodbye. I never really thought that this would feel this way, but I just can't handle it. He left me. Can you believe he left me? I can't find a reason not to do this. I don't want to deal with the pain.
End of message.
One person every 18 minutes commits suicide. This is the cry of people in need of hope. Searching? AnswersRadio.com can help. A message from Answers in Genesis.
Nearly every textbook in Science magazine teaches that the Earth is billions of years old, and the primary dating method used for determining this is what is called radioisotope dating, or radiometric dating. Now, this is a reliable method for measuring absolute ages of rocks and the age of the Earth, right? Huh. First off, many scientists now regard the age of the Earth to be between 4.55 and 4.6 billion years old. Okay, so if this method is reliable and accurate, why the 50 million year discrepancy? That seems like a lot. But let's get into some details here and see what's going on. Keep in mind that there's all kinds of scientific jargon on this topic, and so we'll just present a very straightforward, simplified version of the process. Radiometric dating is the process of estimating the ages of rocks based on the decay of radioactive elements in them. Basically, there are certain kinds of atoms in nature that are unstable and spontaneously decay into other kinds of atoms. For instance, uranium will radioactively decay through a series of steps until it becomes the stable element called lead. The original element is called the parent element, and the end result is called the daughter element. Radioisotope dating is commonly used to date igneous rocks, rocks which formed when hot molten material cooled and solidified. The dating clock started when the rock cooled. During the molten state, it is assumed that the intense heat forced any gaseous daughter elements to escape. It is assumed that once the rock cooled, no more atoms escaped, and any daughter element now found in the rock is a result of radioactive decay since that rock formed. The decay rate is measured in terms of half-life, that is, the length of time it takes half of the remaining atoms of a radioactive parent element to decay. Now, of course, that can be measured in a laboratory, and it is assumed that since we know the decay rate, we can calculate backwards and come up with the age of the rock. But is that all there is to it? Here's where it gets tricky. It's true we can measure a decay rate using observational science, but there's another kind of science that is required to accurately calculate dates for rocks, and that is what we call historical science. Historical science deals with the things in the past, and therefore it cannot be repeated and tested. Dating methods require both types of science, because in order to get accurate rock dates, one would have to accurately know both the decay rate and the initial conditions of the rock sample, right? Since radioisotope dating uses both types of science, we can't directly measure the ages of rocks. There are assumptions involved. For instance, how do we know what the initial conditions were in the rock sample? How do we know the amounts of parent or daughter elements now in that sample haven't been altered by other processes in the past? How does someone know the decay rate has remained constant since the rock formed? The answer is, they don't. Let's simplify here and talk about a typical hourglass. Let's say you walk into a room and you see an hourglass with sand at the top and sand at the bottom, and some sand sprinkling from the top chamber to the bottom. Well, observational science would allow us to see and measure the sand, and then calculate how long the hourglass has been running, right? We could make our sand measurements and then calculate when the hourglass was turned over, right? Well, those calculations could be wrong, because we may have failed to consider some major assumptions, like, was there any sand at the bottom when the hourglass was turned over? Has any sand been added or taken out of the hourglass? Has the sand always been falling at a constant rate? Since we did not observe the initial conditions when the hourglass started, and we haven't been watching the sand all the time since then, we must make assumptions. All three of those assumptions can affect our time calculations. Now, of course, there's more to understanding all of this, but enough said.
Union with Jesus Christ in his dying is the key to putting to death the deeds of the body. Our old self was crucified with him in order that something practical might flow from that glorious union with Christ in his dying. How do you get unified with Christ? Faith alone. Apart from works of the law, unites you with Jesus so that he becomes your righteousness and your pardon and your death. So that something practical might succeed in your life, namely the putting to death of what is dead. That's Christianity.
Who can resurrect your soul? A smart man can't, but Christ will to conduct a heart transplant. I'm living proof of his spiritual maintenance. I'm now revering his patience, fearing his greatness. See,
all believers have truly died ourselves. Cause when Christ died, we were crucified as well.
Okay.
So our old body of sin can be done away with. What a great gift, he's begun the facelift.
Yeah.
But just as Jesus rose from the dead, we too walk in the newness of life in union with Christ.
Amen.
In the past, my master was sin, in a tract of my skin, but I no longer have to give in. His word told me he changed me with his might, so I could be holy and blameless in his sight. I was first regarded as that jerk he pardoned, but I'm confident he'll finish the work he started modestly. In all honesty, Christ lived flawlessly. He's the motor, I'm his pottery. He set me apart from the sons of destruction. He's perfected my heart, it's under construction. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Christ doesn't just save us for forgiveness of sins, he takes us and shapes us into an image of him. Christ fulfilled the law when we were doomed with Satan, so believers get his righteousness from imputation. Now there's no condemnation for his consecrated.
Amen.
I know the process stated seems complicated, but it's the Holy Spirit's key medication. All by his washing and regeneration, he takes worms and maggots and turns their habits. I once cursed with madness, I now serve with gladness.
Come on.
Tell me, who else can take vessels of strife and then transform them into stencils of Christ?
Nobody.
Who else can take these random goons and then breathe life into abandoned tombs?
Yeah.
Christ came to die, his price claimed the sky. His grace will save, plus his might sanctifies. As his workmanship, my crew cares to please him. Dude, there's a reason, it's fruit-bearing season.
Okay.
We received the win, he gave his life for this. We've been freed from sin, we're slaves of righteousness. Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Bless the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification.
Yeah. Through faith, everything that happens to Christ happened to me. I'm happy to see his majesty adapting me gradually. I'm fabric he's weaving me into his kingdom's tapestry. Imagine me spitting systematic theology practically. I'm asking the question that impacted me on a major level. How can a holy, righteous God save a rebel? The mystery is priceless. His decree is like this. Through Christ, he makes the wicked positionally righteous. No longer targets of his curses. He takes deceivers, makes them believers, and then sets them apart for his service.
Amen.
Not only just the reverence, we need to know this, brethren. The road that gets to heaven goes through Romans 6:11. Acknowledging as true what's already occurred. Christ died to send me to. The Lord said in his word.
Right.
In Jesus we rest. We've been freed from the mess. By the Spirit we put to death the misdeeds of the flesh.
Spirit.
I know my faith. That's why I write my name in lowercase. The more I grow in his grace,
uh-huh,
the more he shows me his face.
Yes.
I thank him and praise him through his work, and I get to have this. My sanctification is more certain than death and taxes.
Yes.
Praise God, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle.
Yes.
Praise the Lord, if you're a saint that is saved, then you're being changed by his sanctification. Bless the Lord, if he washed your weary soul, then you're a trophy of grace, a walking miracle. Praise God, if you're a saint that is saved, then we're being changed by his sanctification.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
He bore our sins in his body on the cross, so we might die to sin and live to righteousness.
That was Timothy Brindle featuring Shannon with a song called Sanctification. And their music, you can find it on lampmode.com, lampmode.com. Thanks for listening to me, Melissa Cantrella, here on Truth Be Told Radio. Now I'm going to do one called Fruit Inspection.
Yo, it's so strange. So many folks claim they're born again when their lives are showing no change. Listen while I'm spitting. If you go about your sin without conviction, you should doubt your Christian. The devil tricks people that they're saved when they're sleeping in their graves. Though the evil, they're a slave. So examine yourself. Are you in the faith or are you just a slave to sin's glamour and wealth? Cause you seek finer things that seem fond of sin. Read 1 John 3:9-10. Cause it's a warning, dog. It shows if you're a fraud and that this is impossible if you've been born of God. To
live habitually sinful? At least hear it from Christ since you don't want to listen to Brindle. Please understand this, Jesus demands it. Those who really love him will keep his commandments.
Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven. It's a description of the Christian who is forgiven by trusting in the risen Christ who took our wrath and affliction. Killing sin is not a prescription of how to be forgiven, but it's a description of the Christian who is forgiven. And the Spirit now convicts them to put off and kill their sick sin.
I'ma make this as basic as can be. Let's say a saved saint is like a tree. Since their faith is in Christ, their roots in the soil, so they're saved for life and their fruit isn't spoiled. So it makes sense that if their root is alive, the dead branches fall off, but their fruit's gonna thrive. But if there's no evidence of a changed life, since you claim Christ, so you're still dead in sin. So Jesus is Lord, your lips confess, but killing sin is that confession's litmus test. If perhaps the truth is that you're lacking proof, with absent proof, the axe is at the root. So let's be specific. You say,
but God knows my heart.
Yeah, he knows that it's desperately wicked. So you can repent and accept the truth too, or else when you meet Christ here,
I never knew you.
So let's start from the top. Your heart is a rock. You must trust Christ's death for your charges to drop. Now repent, pretenders, and present your members to him who dares contenders like fender benders. I ain't saying that I'm flawless from sin. I'm saying when I fall, I go to the cross and repent. And just cause we believe in eternal security don't mean we're not concerned with personal purity. Cause those who've been elected, chosen, and predestined won't rest till the day our souls have been perfected. So we'll work out our salvation with fear and trembling, but give God the glory, knowing it's the Spirit's rendering.
We'll be right back.
that's Go Fish with the song called All My Heart. Before that, we had the song called Before the Throne of God, also by Go Fish. And if you want to check out them, see GoFishGuys.com, GoFishGuys.com. And before that, we had Timothy Brindles singing the one on Fruit Inspection. And thank you for listening to me, Melissa Cantrola, here on Trippy Toll Radio. If you ever want to write us something or give us suggestions, send us email to truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com, truthbetoldradioshow@gmail.com. And thanks for listening. Now we're going to play one from Shy Lynn, and this one is the one called Faithful God here on Trippy Told Radio. Once again, that's Faithful God. And here we're going to do something from Answers of Genesis here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Breaking news just in. A tornado has touched down here in the valley with a fury beyond compare, leaving behind a massive trail of destruction. Unconfirmed reports estimate hundreds of casualties due to the lack of warning. And sadly, these numbers will most likely only increase in the coming days. Rescue workers are continuing to search for any survivors.
Oh, dear God. She's so young. Please, please don't take her away from me.
Death and pain. Do you ever wonder how a loving God can allow such suffering? To find biblical, sensitive answers and to receive a free booklet, go to AnswersRadio.com. This has been a message from Answers in Genesis.
Hey, Grandpa, I think I'm getting the hang of this.
You sure are. You know, I taught your father how to fish on this lake. He was about your age, too.
I miss him a lot, Grandpa.
Yeah, I do too.
Why did God take him away from us?
Well, I used to ask that same question until I realized God's not responsible for death. We are, because of Adam's sin in the garden. That's why there's death and suffering in the world, Nick. And it's why your father died. Only God knows why he decided to take your dad when he did, but he asked Jesus to be his Savior when he was about your age, just like you did. So we'll see him again in heaven. That's where I find my comfort, Nick.
Thanks, Grandpa.
I love you, kiddo.
Grandparents have a very important role in teaching their grandchildren about God and biblical truths. Seize every opportunity to share with them what God has taught you through the years. A message from Answers in Genesis at AnswersRadio.com.
We're going to be excited about it because God is using a young man in the kingdom. We want to welcome from Valley Church, Jesus Disciple. He's going to rap for us right now. Thanks, Jared, for being here, brother.
Thank you. All right, this might be a little different from what you're used to hearing on a Sunday morning, but I'm doing this to proclaim the gospel, so here we go.
Welcome to Earth, hope you enjoy your stay. This is a place where sin reigns over the choices made, and everyone lives life with a pointless aim, trying to quiet their souls, but the noise remains. Everywhere you look, you see sin and depravity. It's amazing to me, the most don't realize what's happening. And when I bring it up, people seem to get mad at me. They cover up their ears to keep the world from shattering. It's a tragedy, humanity is dead in sin. And it's sad to see the casualties of wretched men who never realize the fact that there's more to life than getting a job, a wife, and a Porsche to drive. If you're alive, your job, glorify God. The more that you rob His glory, then the more it'll cost. You're gonna pay, even though you thought you'd never be caught. When the day of judgment comes and you stand before God, all humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in Him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. People go through life oblivious to the fact that they're living in the prison they choose. They're trapped within the sin that they do, and they're slaves to their master, the one that they're obedient to. He's leading them to a place where God's wrath is poured out. That's one of the reasons half my listeners are bored now, because I've chosen to speak truth in my song and reveal what's going on to the foolish and lost. It's not arrogant to claim that you found the truth. In fact, the opposite for me, I was found by truth. And now that I can see, I will shine this light through the darkness to the world until the blind have sight. I'm not content with the state of our nation or the rest of the world with the faith that they're faced with. If we don't preach, how can anyone know? It's necessary and it's actually a sin if we don't. All humanity's enslaved to sin. Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. All humanity's enslaved to sin, but Jesus came to set us free and give grace to men. So repent today and put your trust in him, or in the end you'll experience what justice is. The uprising, the truth will set you free. I'm a living proof of grace and I've been redeemed. The uprising, this world is fast asleep, and we need to wake them up from God's wrath to flee. Flee from the wrath to come. Run to Christ. There's only salvation in Christ, in Christ alone.
That's Jared Duba, also known as Depraved Wretch on YouTube. That was live from Trinity Church, and it's called Enslaved. You're listening to Trippy Total Radio. And now I'm going to play one from, this is a song from Guitar Boy 70. This one's called His Eyes on the Sparrow, here on Trippy Total Radio. Guitar Boy 70 as 70, and it's on YouTube. And next I'm gonna play one. This one is Shylin. It's called Jesus is Alive.
Elvis is dead, Picasso is dead, Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin are dead, Marilyn Monroe is dead, however, Jesus is alive, Brando is dead, James Brown is dead, Princess Di and John Lennon are dead, Biggie Smalls and Pac are dead, however, Jesus
Jesus is alive.
Give praise to King Jesus, the blessed Son, victorious, glorious, resurrected one. To him belongs the power, glory and honor. Ascended where he sits at the right hand of the Father. At the cross he made atonement, his people he saved. After 3 days he was raised in defeat of the grave. By faith the elect behold him, his scepter is golden. He must have been hot and slippery cause death couldn't hold him. The spotlight is on today's icons. In 1,000 years nobody'll care, their light's gone. But at that time Christ will still shine bright. He's not in the limelight, he is the limelight. Criminal minded, you've been blinded. Looking for the body of Jesus, you won't find it. We never lack spirit, letting you cast hear it, cause his tomb is empty like most secular rap lyrics.
Plato is dead, Socrates is dead,
yeah.
Aristotle and Immanuel Kant are dead,
yeah.
Nietzsche and Darwin are dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Yeah. Buddha is dead, Muhammad is dead,
yeah.
Gandhi and Haile Selassie are dead,
yeah.
Elijah Muhammad is dead. However, Jesus is alive,
yeah. Throughout history, there's been mad religious leaders, prophets, preachers, scholars, teachers. But when it came to the grave, no one could climb out. That's where Jesus stands alone, like taking a time out. And don't be misled, I got a level head. No resurrection, Christianity would have never spread. The disciples weren't stupid guys who would ruin their lives and then choose to die for what they knew was a lie. That would be beyond ridiculous. Not an issue is the risen Christ seen by 500 eyewitnesses. Imagine 500 people in a court of law, each of them taking to stand reporting what they saw. If their stories lined up and made sense, the evidence would have to leave you convinced, no doubt. But still it's by faith that we trust and praise the Son who was raised for our justification. Check it out.
Nero is dead, Constantine is dead,
yeah.
Genghis Khan and Attila the Hun are dead,
yeah.
Alexander the Great is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah.
Yeah.
Napoleon is dead, Lao Tzu is dead,
yeah.
Che Guevara and Henry the Eighth are dead.
What?
Saddam Hussein is dead. However,
Jesus is alive. Through faith in Christ, we've been saved from hell. Because he's risen, it means we'll be raised as well. In glorified bodies fit for the new earth. For now, we participate in the new birth. The universal reality of the true church. With resurrection power, watch the spirit do work. United with Christ, we reside in his light. Abide in his might, keeping stride as we fight. The pride in our life, the lies and the spite. We strive to be wise as he guides. Through the night, he'll try and he'll slice. Recognize that he's right, his brightness inside lights our eyes, and it's tight, decided to die to wash white all our strife. His life was the price to delight in his wife. He told death strike just to rise like a kite. All eyes on the Christ, let's prize him tonight.
Pharaoh is dead, Cyrus is dead,
yeah.
Darius and Sennacherib are dead,
yeah.
Nebuchadnezzar is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah. Caesar is dead, Herod is dead,
yeah.
Antiochus and Judas are dead,
yeah.
Pontius Pilate is dead. However,
Jesus is alive,
yeah.
He's alive, y'all. He's alive, y'all.
What?
He's alive, y'all.
Yeah.
He's alive, y'all.
All praise to the risen one, the Lord Jesus.
What?
Yeah.
There, let's see what we have here. How did you say this happened again?
I was playing basketball.
Basketball, eh? Never really understood the game myself.
Ow!
I see it hurts a little. Well, broken arms usually do smart quite a bit. Bleeding a little there, too. Tell you what I'll do. I'll stick this band-aid on the cut, and it should stop the bleeding, and I'll give you some of these pills to make it hurt not so much. There you go. All set.
Doesn't he need a cast?
Oh, I'm sure he will be fine. Now it's time for my lunch. Oh, boy, I just love the peanut butter and jelly with the pickles.
Are we just treating symptoms rather than giving the cure? Like putting a Band-Aid on a broken arm, pro-life rallies and marriage amendments, though good, are really just treating symptoms. Our culture no longer believes that the Bible is the final authority for life. We need to rebuild the foundations of our faith. To learn how, go to AnswersRadio.com. A message from Answers in Genesis.
A 16-year-old Bel Air High School student was arrested Friday morning for the shooting death of Jonathan Finkelman. Finkelman was shot and killed in his home late last summer.
Three teenaged girls are accused of breaking into a Volusia County home and stealing a vehicle. While trying to get away, they lost control of the vehicle and crashed into an 80-year-old woman, killing her instantly.
Authorities arrested an 11-year-old boy Monday night and charged him with the stabbing death of a woman whose body was discovered in the bedroom of her Cherry Hill home.
A 16-year-old was arrested an
11-year-old boy Monday night, 17-year-old
boy for the shooting death
of attacked
a
victim on
death of a local track and field, killing her instantly.
Violence like this can be stopped, but it's going to take putting God back in our lives and back into our society. And that means going back to the beginning. Find hope. Find truth. Find answers today at answersingenesis.org.
The Ten Commandment Boogie. Let's go fish singing that. Thanks for listening to Trippy Totals Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And what we're going to do next is another one from Go Fish. This one's called Fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah, this is how we live.
not just about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. Oh, not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Go, S.O.
Let move, yeah. Come strong, move to God, yeah. God alone, yeah. Solely, solely, Deo, Deo, Gloria, Gloria. Here we go, yeah. If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He goes in the nature of his love, everything that he does. He goes even when it gets tough. Yes, the Lord is enough. He goes. Yes, God makes it plain to the man. Why should we be subliminal? When it comes to goodness, our God is at the pinnacle. If God is approving it, then it's good. That's the principle. Humanity is minimal. The Lord is the original. Fountain of benevolence. Boundless in measurement. Abounding in blessedness. It is mountains of evidence. Found in the testaments. Resounding these sentiments. We drown in his benefits from towns to the settlements. His goodness expressed in the natural and physical. From rocks and minerals to toxic chemicals. Stop being cynical. Not trying to be traditional. But God is good.
All the time.
No intervals. Our doubters are pessimists. Clown what he represents. His smile towards the penitent. And doubters with reticence. Now that we've been convinced, we shout without hesitance. Crown his excellency now and forever, friend.
Yeah, 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 okay. Yeah, 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 okay.
If you taste it and seen, then you know what I mean. He goes. In the nature of his love, everything that he does. He goes. Even when it gets tough, yes, the Lord is enough. He goes. Yes, God makes it plain to the man who is slain. He goes.
Yeah, 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 okay. yeah, okay. Understand God is good apart from anything he's done for me. Yet and still his goodness has blessed me abundantly. I try to give a summary, beginning with his love for me. Intending Christ to die, yes, the blood of Jesus covers me. Our years he can make them new, our fears he's awakened to. He hears when we're praying and he's there when the payment's due. His spirit enables you to fear him and praise him through. The tears we can say it's true. Near when we're breaking through, whether we are suffering or living in luxury, his works toward his people are all done lovingly. They're never done stubbornly, and with a hint of drudgery, every single sunrise provides a new discovery. It's clear what he came to do. Seers like Isaiah knew. He'd appear as a baby who was reared as a faithful Jew, and here's for a shady crew, appeared in the faintest view. So here's what we're made to do: revere him, cause praise is due. The goodness of God can be seen in his provision, in each of his decisions. He's leaving the inscription that it's needless and grievous just to keep him in derision. It's cool to know his goodness never changes, it's immutable. It's true when we can't explain this. He's inscrutable, and we are not delusional. These facts are indisputable. I know it sounds unusual, I'll show you how it's provable. Adam and Eve had freedom with one restriction. Satan deceived them from Eden, received eviction. To leave us in the crazy condition, which leads the addictions, but Jesus' afflictions frees those believing he's risen. God's goodness seen at the cross, irrefutable. On his gospel truth, we will stand immovable and glorify God for his goodness is suitable. Just cause it's a duty, no, just because he's beautiful.
Watching this picture on the screen, I will tell you about these invisible waves and how our ears are able to convert them into sound. Even now, as my voice comes to you, it is carried by these airwaves to be conveyed to your own brain by nerve impulses created within your ear. As we shall see, this speed of conversion requires the highly refined and perfect mechanism, which is our ear.
What an unspeakable privilege to talk about the Holy One, his wondrous acts and might, and the sacrifice of his only son. Disclaimer, turn this off now if you want a worldly substitute, but turn the volume up, hear me if you sincerely love the truth. So focus, we have much to do and little time to do it, and my job is done if this encourages you to commune with him, to get a bigger view of him. We gotta dive in deeply though. 6 million forms of communication like C-3PO. By nature, all of us are blind into divine reality, and we would stay in that state if God didn't give us eyes to see. But now that he has opened them, our view is panoramic now. Although it's through a dark glass, it's new and not Adamic now. It's true and kind of tragic how at one time we had to fight for him, and whether religious or irreligious, we were fighting him. The elect, Jesus died for them. Holy Spirit enlightened them, and now the works of God are studied by all who delight in him. 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 Delight in him.
Now let's get straight. to the top and God's love is way the process. And apart from the Holy Spirit, we're unable to guide them, cause man's afraid in his logic, so God's haters are mocking. But in a Trinitarian love to make us astonished, imagine the Son enjoying the embrace of his Father, eternally paying him homage as he bathed in his knowledge. Equally faithful and sovereign, gracious, patient and honest, cosmic greatness, blazing with radiance, conscious. Holy Spirit also present, full display of his godness. No creation could watch this, it wasn't safe with their optics. What an awesome scene in heaven with all esteem and reverences. Psalm 16:11 as conveyed through the prophet. Overflow of joy and love, the Father made him a promise to give his Son a people to liberate from their bondage. So they're no longer slaves and hostages, but blameless and spotless. Consequence of eternal love, our salvation's accomplished. Yeah.
Love,
yeah.
So perfect, love eternally unchanging, holy, righteous love transcends our understanding. But in your nature there is perfect love. So perfect love eternally unchanging, holy, righteous love transcends our understanding. But in salvation there is perfect love. Love.
One thing to consider, God's love that's within, but how could God's love extend to men corrupted with sin? Cause we certainly don't deserve it, he's perfect and we're imperfect. What's lurking beneath the surface, his mercy and deeper purpose, made in his likeness installed with reminders of his law. Despite our blindness from the fall, his kindness reaches all. The fact he allows the sun to rise on this evil planet means that his love is such that we can't even understand it. In other words, don't let traditions fool ya, gotta let them scriptures school ya. As a matter of fact, see how Christ reacted when it came to the rich young ruler. Love explicit, if it isn't his love, what is it? Restricting him from inflicting his vengeance on the wicked. Some call it common grace, but I'm inclined to state that it's the love of God shining from a place that's beyond time and space. They say if God is love, what's eternal torment for? Well, he loves the world for sure, but he loves his glory more. Yeah.
Love,
yeah.
So perfect, love eternally unchanging, holy, righteous love transcends our understanding. But in your nature there is perfect love. So perfect love eternally unchanging, holy, righteous love transcends our understanding. But in salvation there is perfect love. Love.
Perhaps the most misunderstood aspect of this subject would be the love of God that he expresses towards the elect. In the second some people hear that, they get mad inside. But it's a special kind of love the husband has for his bride. It's a love that distinguishes her and sets her apart. No other woman could ever have the same effect on his heart. Because this room is not adulterous, this marriage has no openness. His devotion is traced back to when the world was motionless. In love we were predestined for adoption as a son, not for anything that we've done. Check Ephesians chapter 1. Look, when we lived as God's opponents, he gave his only son for atonement. So we got to see he can't possibly love us more than he does this moment. In love he justified us, in love he sanctifies us. So we don't have to jump through hoops to try to make him like us. One thing we truly cannot fathom with son, the Father loves us with the very love he has for his son. Yeah.
Love,
yeah.
So perfect, love eternally unchanging, holy, right love transcends our understanding. But in your nature there is perfect love. So perfect love eternally unchanging, holy, righteous love transcends our understanding. But in salvation there is perfect love. Love.
God is perfect love, and that is Shailene Sina. His name is spelled S-H-A-I-L-I-N-E. And you can find him on LampMode, L-A-M-P-M-O-D.com, L-A-M-P-M-O-D-E.co. And thanks for listening to me, Liz Cantrilla. Now I'll play one of my favorite songs from Shailene. This one's called Penelope Judd, here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Good morning, boys and girls. Okay, I need you to settle down now. Guess what? I have a story for you. It's about a little girl. You ready? Once upon a time, in a distant land, far beyond the sea, where there lived no man or woman. In fact, lo and behold, the oldest person there was only 12 years old, because all the grown-ups had washed away in a flood. One town in particular there was called Mud, because every sister, cousin, and brother, from head to toe in mud, they were covered. But anyway, in this town called Mud, there lived a little girl named Penelope Judd. Now Penelope was a very sad, sad girl, because she was living in a bad, bad world, where kids teased each other and acted really mean. They lied, cheated, and stole, and their speech was obscene. With no grown-ups around, nobody was really wise, so every kid did what was right in their own eyes. Penelope would cry, like every single day. No matter what she did, the tears wouldn't go away. But deep down in her heart, she hoped it would get better, because of what her grandpa had written in the letter. He said,
Penelope, it's great news that I bring. On the mountaintop, there lives a great king. The king has a son, and being a proud father, he's gonna throw the prince a huge party in his honor. But the good part, and I hope it gets you excited, Penelope Judd, you're officially invited. He's sending a dog, he'll tell you all you need to know. Just have your bags packed and be ready to go.
It had been such a long time Penelope was waiting. She wondered if the letter was true or just faking. But one day she was playing outside, and to a great surprise, the dove had arrived. He said,
off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
Your turn, your turn.
Off we go, with no delay. Don't let nobody try to make you stay. We're gonna see the king, we're on our way. And all the old things gonna pass away.
The dove told her that he was sent by the king. If she wanted to go, she had to run and grab her things. Penelope said, okay, I'll be right back. Ran into the house and came back out with her knapsack. The dove said,
Penelope, the party is in a day. Stay alert, follow me, and I'll lead the way.
So as he flew and Penelope walked the path, she waved goodbye to her friends and they started to laugh. They said that she was silly for following the dove, just to go to some stupid party up above. Penelope and the dove continue on their way, but then she got sad because part of her wanted to stay. But then she thought to herself, why would I want to stay? Because all they do is play in the mud all day. And while they're doing that, I'm going to see the king. It made Penelope so happy she started to sing. She said,
I go with no delay, and ain't nobody going to make me stay. I'm going to see the king, I'm on my way.
For a long time, they reached the foot of the mountain and they started to climb. Penelope got scared, not sure if she could keep going because the mountain was very, very steep. On top of that, it was now dark outside. The dove said,
keep your eyes on me, I'll be your guide.
Getting to the top was a difficult trip, but the dove was there to pick her up whenever she slipped. And she was so excited when they got near the top that she didn't even stop when her knapsack dropped. The dove led her to the palace and said,
farewell, see you inside.
He flew away, Penelope rang the bell. A huge angel answered, looked her up and down. She knew something was wrong because he had a big frown.
Can I help you, ma'am?
Yes, I'm here for the party. I have an invitation.
He said,
I'm so sorry. There's no way that I can let you through these doors. The king won't let anyone
one dirty up his floor.
She didn't understand, so without coming near her, he reached into his pocket and he pulled out a mirror. And for the very first time, she saw that she was dirty. The polish was spotless, she knew she wasn't worthy. As the angel continued,
I'm sorry, little friend, but
the voice inside the party said, you can let her in. The next thing she knew, the prince himself was at the door. He looked at her, smiled, and said,
there's room for one more.
He reached out and touched her. Instantly, she was clean, wearing the brightest robe that she had ever seen. If the mud kids had seen it, they would have gone blind. Where'd you get it? She asked. He said,
actually, it's mine.
And as he let her in through the palace door, he sang the sweetest song she ever heard before. He said,
long ago, laid aside my crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to your town. They kicked me out, didn't want me around. But those who love me get to share my crown.
Your turn,
your turn. Long ago, laid aside his crown. Became a mud kid, traveled to our town.
Be forever.
was Guitar Boy 70, and that was Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. And now they're playing one from Goldfish, and this one is called Fruit. No, sorry, not that one. Gotta Move here on Trippy Toll Radio.
Everybody knew, sharper than a tack on the end of a Ginsu. She graduated number one and had to give a speech. What would she say? What would she teach? She knew about God and this was a chance. She could bust a move or be afraid to do the dance. She told the truth and everybody heard. She got brave cause she understood. If you wanna bear fruit,
called Gotta Move, and that one is by GoFish. And if you want to find out more about them, see GoFishGuys.com, GoFishGuys.com. And I am Melissa Cantrola. I am your host. Want to find out more about us, see our website at TruthBeToldRadio.com, TruthBeToldRadio.com. And I also have a personal website at smilesandstuff.com. That's SmilesandStuff.com. And has my testimony, how I came to know Christ personally. And thank you for listening to Trippy Toll Radio. And let's see, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to play a song. This one is from Shylin. And this one is called, let's see if I can find it. Should be right here. Let's see. Okay, here it is. This is Jealous God here on Truth Be Told Radio.
Okay, let's begin. Let your mind roam. Our scene takes place inside of a home. The husband has just walked up the staircase. He glares into space with despair on his face. His soul is on fire. Inside there's a war that can't be denied. He stands outside the door. On the other side, his bride and a lover, oblivious to the fact their lies been discovered. So as they embrace and try to make haste, they have no idea what's about to take place. Gun in hand, he longs to understand what would lead his wife into the arms of another man. He thinks back to the day they made their vows, before God, before the minister in the crowd. Exchange of the rings, the joy of the reception, now a tainted memory destroyed by deception. He has been faithful to her, now the fire of his desire got him ready to do something hateful to her. He never thought his wife would be just a faker, and that her lust would make her a covenant breaker. The promise of fidelity they made was glorious, but now his jealousy has made him furious, and they can't see the danger. Those dreams of peace they make could ever ease the pain or appease his anger. He kicks open the door, they jump out of the bed. Don't move is all he said, gun pointed at his head. The screams of his wife as he clutches the covers close. Her lover spoke to plead for his life. The husband says to the God, look me in my eye. My face will be the last thing you see before you die. The husband cried inside, his love was bona fide. Trouble for the bride, double homicide.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made. As our unbelief leads our hearts astray, how long before he turns his face away? We belong to the jealous one. We belong to the jealous one. Whose blood bought us back, whose victory won. Our worship and praise.
The God of the Bible who invites our trust must be understood to be nothing like us. Most of the time, human jealousy will hurt you, but when it comes to God, his jealousy is a virtue. One of his awesome perfections, surely, thunders his law and protects his glory. He gave us the gift of the marriage relationship to acquaint us with the faint taste of this. A wife for a husband, a husband for wife, the only time jealousy is right in this life. But just as the distance is great between earth and stars, God's thoughts are much higher than ours, so his jealousy is on a whole other level, unintelligible to the soul of a rebel. But in sacred scripture, God paints the picture, the aim to shake your frame is straight conviction, and that's what it should do. God's jealousy is frightful, and yet it's delightful and good too. I couldn't think of much worse if I tried than a dude who smirks if you flirt with his bride. So tell me, what kind of God would he be if he wasn't bothered to see idolatry? Is God just supposed to laugh and withhold his wrath when he's replaced by a golden calf? You say, I don't worship a golden calf. Well, for us, it's self and sex and loads of cash. Atrocious past, we still don't know the half of how these things provoke his holy wrath. And so we stand in awe and wonder how come God took his jealous anger out on his son. So all those who trust him can see like we're supposed to see and be forgiven of our spiritual adultery.
How quickly we are to break the vows we made. As our unbelief leads our hearts astray. Long before he turns his face away.
We belong to the jealous one. We belong to the jealous one. Whose blood bought us back, whose victory won. Our worship and praise to him belong.
Yeah. The other day, this guy was like, yo, man, what's good with all that theology? Give us something practical. And I was like, word? Okay, check this out.
I know it's deep, but when you peep, you find it's dead.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man,
200%.
Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you peep, you find it's dead.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. Our topic of discussion is beyond human comprehension. The infinite God has made a super condescension. The condescension nobody could have anticipated. Precipitated by the evil we participated in. Through Adam and Eve, our first kin. Cursed when they committed the first sin. Only if you have the Holy Spirit's antennas can you truly understand fallen man's dilemma. See, only a human can substitute for human lives. But only God can take the wrath of God and survive. Yeah. See the humanly unsolvable obstacle? With God, all is plausible. Nothing's impossible. True haters are fighting, but the story is certain.
Yeah.
Two natures united in one glorious person. Jesus, the God-man, official soul reaper. The hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of God, 100% divinity.
Yeah,
self-existent, second person of the Trinity. Magisterial, imperial at the helm. Infinitely transcending this material realm.
Yeah,
he's so original, getting to know him is pivotal. Behold the invincible, prototypical, holy principle.
Yeah,
possessor of all divine attributes. The omnis, wisdom, grace, beauty, love, wrath, and truth. He's the one that all creation was made through.
Yeah.
And by him, the earth's foundation was laid too.
Yeah.
As the angels, they saw it on pay-per-view. Created Satan too, matter of fact, he created you.
True.
And nothing can escape Jesus' sovereign rule, from the farthest galaxy to the smallest molecule. So who deserves to gain fame?
Who?
By the word of its power, the universe is maintained. In other words, put the cosmos back on the shelf. Without Christ, reality would collapse on itself.
Yeah,
Jesus, the marvelous author of all consciousness, beyond what the sharpest biologist acknowledges. He needs no archaeologist or smart apologist. He sees our hearts, omnipresent cardiologist. Master of logic, macrocosmic novelist. Following any other god is just preposterous. Yeah, Selah, let's just let that sink in for a second. Yeah,
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set.
Yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deep, but when you keep your mind set.
Yeah,
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah, fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. The Son of Man, 100% humanity.
Yeah.
The mind stretches to understand how can it be. You gotta see what he does, becoming what he was, and while never ceasing to be what he was. Is your mind flipping?
Yeah,
they got you tripping, me too. But the scripture is true, Philippians 2. By faith we believe this amazing Jesus, who made Uranus and Venus, became a fetus. It's such a secret that few, if anybody, knew it. Months later, he's covered in amniotic fluid. The subjects of the gospels, praise of apostles, armed with eye sockets, armpits, and nostrils. Who is this Jesus? God clothed in human weakness, super sweetness and peace for the true believers. See the one who never tires, knocked out sleeping. See the source of eternal joy weeping. Which one can explain how the Son, abundant with fame, who made thunder and rain, now has hunger pain?
Huh?
See the creator of water become thirsty on the cross when he saved from the slaughter the unworthy. My awe should be sky high, and I ought to just cry wide with water in my eyes when the author of life dies. Raised on the third, God-man, soul seeker, the hypostatic union, it gets no deeper.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
The hypostatic union.
I know it's deeper when you keep your mind set.
Yeah.
Jesus, both God and man, 200%. Yeah. Fully divine, fully human. Introducing the hypostatic union.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how we do it, man. Lyrical theology.
Word
up. Spiritual analogies. The hypostatic union. Shout out to my man Direct.
Yeah.
Good luck, y'all. What up, Canada? Yeah.
That is the hypostatic union. Once again, it's Shylin singing that. Now we're going to switch a little bit to this one. Is going to be Go Fish And this is a song called Jesus Loves Me.
Yeah.
Again, that's Go Fish, and they are singing a song that's called Saved. And you're listening to Truth Be Told Radio. I'm your host, Melissa Cantrella. And I'm going to do one more by Go Fish. This is called The Bible Book Bop.
Bop, 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 Bible Book. Bop, 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 Bible Book.
We have never seen the agonizing death of a man on a cross. Immediately a man was nailed to the cross, he lost all his rights. And if you ever get nailed to the cross, you'll lose all yours too. Paul says, don't trouble me. I'm branded. I bear the marks of a slave. I'm a bond slave of Jesus Christ. I've no will of my own. I've no rights of my own. There's an old hymn established on that very theme. Let my hands perform his bidding. Let my feet run in his ways. Let my eyes see Jesus only. Let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. All my thoughts and words and doings. All my days and all my hours. This man is no professional preacher. Preaching is not a profession, it's a passion. Man can't preach with passion, he shouldn't preach at all. There's no breath of professionalism anywhere in the ministry of Paul, and thank God there's no breath of commercialism either. Paul has no fear. Do you know what he did? I would to God some of you fellows would do it. Do you know what he once did? He said, I bow the knee to the Father. And because he bowed the knee to the Father, he never bowed the knee to anybody else. Neither demons or politician or kings. He stood there, regal. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
We're declared justified. Christ must have died for our lust and pride so we can clutch the prize. Disgusting guys thrust his sides with a customized busted rusty knife. He was a victim of mockery, afflicted, socked and kicked, fulfilled scripture's prophecy. He sat in the penalty box for me. He steadily watches the enemy cautiously. Instead of him telling me cop a plea, the cops have settled my felonies, dropped them free. So hug the highness for his loving kindness, cause of the cross now our crutch behind us. They punished him first, he was led to slaughter, a hunger and thirst for his bread and water. You and I are hyped to be crucified with Christ, who resides inside us, shining a truly guiding light. Chapter 35 of Isaiah told me this: the Messiah is the highway of holiness. He dissolves and he cleans my grossly and rotten tongue. It's for all who believe the only begotten Son. But you wrap your ears so you don't have to hear. But you cast no fear when he cracks the atmosphere. I pray to the God of Abraham that he can use this blazing jam to maybe save a man.
We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with Mike.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his way. If you've been redeemed, then scream this praise. We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with Mike.
Jesus saved.
We've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed, then scream this praise.
I'd rather be a janitor in God's house than a prince on this earth. The more I think on Christ, the more that I'm convinced of his worth. Ever since the new birth, things haven't been quite the same. Holy Spirit, please light the flame. Feed the starved and parched, your word carved in parts. As I aim these sharpened darts at heart and hearts with pinpoint accuracy. Unfathomably, God became a man and took the wrath that was actually for me. But he stood in my place. I'm immaculate and free because he took my disgrace. Lyrical care to storm track. I was once on that. Now I strictly form raps to warn cats about becoming wrath of the Holy One, running the path of his only Son, or get cut in half by the smoking gun that same datcha. So behold the main factor, Jehovah Thing Snatcher, potentate master of sacred data that's making Satan matter. God haters flatter under the weight of Jacob's ladder, cause sin's cause is incomprehensible when caught in the jaws of the invincible. Boss and principle whose laws are sensible. By contrast, our ways are insane. The cross is the pinnacle. While time lasts, we're making it plain.
We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
To spread the gospel,
this squad worships with might.
Jesus saved,
we've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise.
We're bond servants of Christ
for God's purpose in life.
The law searches for the light.
This squad worships with might.
Jesus saved,
we've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise.
God is closer than he appears, like the objects in the side view mirror. I'm here to provide you clearer insight as I write in the candlelit room of how Christ took flight and abandoned the tomb. It's bad to assume you understand. Imagine your gloom when you see the Son of Man in his majesty suit. His control is absolute. He lets the twilight shine, and his holy attributes stretch the finite mind. Inscrutable, he shines above with his godly essence. Immutable, divine love and omnipresence. Infinitely just, which means danger for the lost. Intimate with us, cause Jesus took his anger on the cross. So let's begin the feast with the Prince of Peace. In the kingdom, we can sing him hymns with peace. His name is matchless. He gave us tactics to proclaim him like that famous Baptist.
His throne stands the strongest. He owns the promised land. He's so grand and honest. He broke hands from bondage. I hope man's acknowledged with the chosen lamb accomplished. Let's serve in his likeness. How fervently righteous. God put on armpits and live perfectly righteous. There's a tabernacle in my Adam's apple. Jesus won the war so we don't have to battle.
We're bond servants of Christ.
For God's purpose in life.
Spread the gospel.
This squad worships with my
Jesus faith.
We've seen his way.
If you've been redeemed,
then scream this praise.
We're bond servants of Christ. For God's purpose in life. The lost search for the light. This squad worships with my
Jesus faith. We've seen his ways. If you've been redeemed, then scream this praise.
Let me make this plain, kids. God is the greatest. He never changes. His ways are blameless. For his own glory and at different stages, he raises up servants to make his name famous. I highlight one particular servant for the purpose of encouraging your worship to the Lord. Furthermore, Charles Haddon Spurgeon was born on the outskirts of London, 1834. His dad and his grandpa were both in the ministry. His mother was praying for his soul since his infancy. Naturally intelligent, rapidly developing, but lacking Jesus fellowship, that would be irrelevant. The God of his mother unknown. Though Christ was up in his home, the faith just wasn't his own. The Lord answered prayer when, at the age of 10, young Charles became convinced of the wages of sin. For the next 5 years, the Spirit brought conviction, terrors and affliction, aware of his condition. One Sunday morning, though the stormiest snow kept Charles from going in the church he'd normally go. Randomly stepped into a church, heard the words, "Look to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth." And though only heaven knows the name of the preacher, that's the day that Spurgeon became a believer. So merciful, always so purposeful. Those whom he draws find his call irreversible. Immediately after Spurgeon's conversion, obediently he was earnest to serve him. The Lord poured his Spirit on Spurgeon abundantly. Anyone could see that he spoke with profundity, extraordinary giftedness seen, proclaiming God's mysteries at the age of 15 in a place called Water Beach, graced with the sort of speech that even made the old folks say, "This boy can preach." In fact, he was so crass that after the master of Baptist church snatched him and asked him to pastor. At the time, he was 17 years old, on fire for the King who redeemed his soul. People flocked from everywhere. It was quite a scene. Called to a church in London at the age of 19. He was more than ready to his Lord. He was dedicated, even though he was never formally educated. If you would have scratched him, he would plead Bible. A rich prayer life was his means of survival. Amount that he read was truly mind-blowing, steeped in the writings of dudes like John Owen. And by God's grace, he fed the sheep new manna. In London, met his wife. Her name was Susanna. Susanna. The grace of God stand to the side. The Spirit exalting the Lamb who has died. It can't be denied this man we describe was simply a tool in the hand of his God. To observe this servant, extremely instructive. One word about Spurgeon is he was productive. Preach Jesus, no speakers. Loudly he shouted. Each week packed houses of crowds in the thousands. His sermons were published, 62 volumes. He worked almost like he just knew he would die soon. Made mad disciples, passed on his knowledge, established a school to train pastors in college, sold out to the Lord Jehovah his portion. Also, he built two homes for the orphans, a monthly magazine, plus he wasn't too busy to write books.
about 150. God's grace in Spurgeon was manifest. But remember, the best man is a man at best. Yes, he struggled with depression. Consistently sick kid, both he and Susanna physically afflicted. He experienced as a servant of Jesus the power of God made perfect in weakness. Later on come complications. His stance for orthodoxy got him shunned by his denomination. But through all the hardships and all the controversy, he never stopped relying on the sovereign God of mercy. And when he had finished pressing towards the goal, he entered into heaven at the age of 57. His life is a case of God's grace effectively at work in sinners to leave a great legacy. The proof is many years later in your speakers. We're praising Jesus for raising up the Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers. Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers.
Prince of Preachers. Prince of Preachers.
That is a song which is called Spurgeon. It's about Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a reformer. And show is almost over, so I want to remind you, you can check us out at truthbetoldradio.com, truthbetoldradio.com, and me at smilesandstuff.com. And also we're on Facebook as Truth Be Told Radio and on Twitter at Truth Be Told Radio, but it's the letter, just the letter B by itself, not B-E. So Truth, the letter B, Told Radio. And mine is at Bondservant for JC, B-O-N-D-S-E-R-V-A-N-T, the number 4, and JC. And also, don't forget to listen to us next time, and our shows are archived on iTunes for free. Download the past ones. And gonna do now is gonna go out as we came in. This is with Go Fish singing the VIVLE, and bye for now.
The VIVLE, that's the book for me. The VIVLE, that's the book for me.